Opening on Pezayin Amud Beis, eight lines from the bottom. Continuing on the topic, we were talking yesterday about Golos and the original Gzeira of it, and then the purpose that it does accomplish as opposed to any other punishment that Hashem could have chosen for the Jewish people. And by the way, the Medrash says that all the way back by the Bris Bein Absarim, the Eibishter gave Avraham a choice that what his descendants should have, Gehenim or Golos. And the Medrash goes on to say that Hashem, that Avraham chose Golos, and actually Hashem told him that Golos would be the better choice. So based on the Gemara was saying over here, as we said yesterday, the idea is that this way Gerim will be added to them, which we said means Gerim physically, and also sparks of Kedusha, and also this way they're scattered, we're scattered among the nations, and no one nation is able to destroy us, etc. So more on that topic of Golos. Tani Rabchia, my dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk? Elokim haven darka, Hashem understood its way, it referring to the Torah, that whole chapter over there was talking about Torah, v'hu yoda es mekoyma, and he knows its proper place. So what does that mean? It means, yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael, she'enu nicholim l'kamo gzeres achazori es edan. Hashem knew that the Jewish people are not going to be able to withstand the harsh decrees of Edom. Therefore, he sent them into Golos to Bavel. Now, we said before the Jewish people are scattered in many different countries, but first of all, that could be referring to after the second Churban, whereas here we're talking after the first Churban, where the Jewish people primarily were exiled to Bavel, or even after the second Churban, still the majority of the Jewish people in Golos were in Bavel. So, because Hashem knew that they're not going to be able to withstand the decrees of Edom. Now, usually Edom means the Romans, and in fact, over here there are Kisviyad, earlier prints of the Gemara, that say Roimiyim instead of Edom, which would mean that the censors changed it. With that said, though, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that at least if we're talking about the first Beis Hamikdash, maybe it's talking about the original nation of Edom, the one that lived southeast of Eretz Yisrael, because in that time, and when the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Romans were just a little provincial kingdom. They wouldn't have been in any position to conquer the Beis Hamikdash. Anyway, so that's the point, that Hashem knew what's the best place that the Jewish people should wind up in Golos, that way at least the Bavliim, as cruel as they were, they're not as bad as the other nations. Actually, Tosfos brings over here a Gemara from elsewhere, from Gittin, that says that there came a point when actually the Persians were worse than there came a point when Golos Bavel was worse than being under the Romans, And the Gemara says in those places that's after the Chavri came to Bavel, which Rashi understands that to mean after the original after the original Babylonian Empire fell, when Belshazzar was killed at the end of the 70 years of Golos Bavel, and the Persians took over. And Tosfos over there explains it means no, hundreds of years later, at the end of the time of the Tanoim, and beginning of the time of the Amoraim, when there came to Bavel a new fanatical group of Persians called the Chavri, who were more fanatical about their religion, and they started harassing the Jewish people. But anyway, but up until that point, the point is it was better to be in Bavel than any place else. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, lo yehigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael the Bavel, elam efnei she'amuka kishoel. The reason why Hashem sent the Jewish people in Golos specifically to Bavel after the first Churban is because it's as deep as she'ol, it's as deep as the grave. As the pasuk says, "Miyad Sheol Efdeim." Hashem says, "I will redeem them from Sheol. Mimaves Egolim. I'll rescue them from death." In other words, the point is that this way Hashem will redeem them from there much faster because He promised to take us out of Sheol. And Marsha says, in other words, the idea is Sheol in the simple sense means the grave or Gehenim. But in other words, what Hashem did is He sort of fulfilled the promise in the more literal sense. So this way it doesn't have to be fulfilled in the harsher sense. They wind up in a deep place like Sheol, and therefore Hashem redeems them from there rather than them having to go to actual Sheol, the actual grave or the actual Gehenim, and be redeemed first from there. Reb Chanina Omar, Reb Nisha Korav L'Shoinim L'Loshin Torah. Reb Chanina says another reason why the Golos was specifically to Bavel is because their language is close to the language of the Torah. They speak Aramaic over there. So this way they won't forget the Torah as fast. This way, for example, They can still be learning Torah and Lashon Kodesh, and it's recognizably similar enough to Aramaic that many people will be able to understand it. Even if you have an Aramaic translation, it's still fairly close to Lashon Kodesh, so it makes it easier to translate back and forth, and therefore to understand and not forget the Torah. Rabbi Yechanan says the reason for Golos Babel was because Hashem sent them back to the house of their mother. In other words, where did Avraham come from originally? From Ur Kasdim. Now, Maharsha points out, our Ur Kasdim itself is not actually in Babel. Ur Kasdim is in Babel. Rather, Ur Kasdim is in Babel, but the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that Avraham was not actually born in Ur Kasdim. He was born in Kurso. He was born, I think the Ramban explains that Avraham was born in Choron, and then later on the family moved to Ur Kasdim. But we're calling it Beis Iman. Maharsha says, either because that was where Avraham developed his emunah in Hashem, so Iman Meloshon Emunah, or because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that most of Adam Arishan's body was taken from Babel, and therefore in that sense, it's like the mother's home, it's like the original source of the Jewish people, and more generally of all of humanity. Anyway, so therefore, so he sent them there. It's like if a man gets angry at his wife, where does he send them? Back to her mother's house. So the same way, Hashem was angry at the Jewish people, so he sent them back to their mother's house, namely Babel. And the Gemara says, this last explanation, that the Jewish people were sent into Golos to Babel because it's where the Jewish people originated, that fits with what Rabbi Alexandri said. There were three things that ended up returning to the original source they came from. Elohein, Yisrael, Kesef Mitzrayim, Uchsav Luchas. The Jewish people, the money of Mitzrayim, the wealth of Mitzrayim, and the writing on the Luchas. So what does that mean? Yisrael Hadamoran, we just said the Jewish people originated in Babel, and in Ur Kasdim, and eventually they were sent back there. Kesef Mitzrayim, where do we see the wealth of Mitzrayim? So we know the Jewish people took out a huge amount of wealth from Mitzrayim, but later on, the Pasuk tells us in Malachim, by Hibashana Hamishas Amalach Rechavam, in the fifth year of King Rechavam, Ola Shishak Melach Mitzrayim al Yerushalayim Levemer, Shishak, the king of Mitzrayim, invaded Yerushalayim, and the Pasuk goes on to say that he took all of the treasures of the Beis Hamikdash and all the treasures of the king's palace, etc. So all that wealth that had come from Mitzrayim went back there. We're going to learn more about that in the last parak, what happened, that wealth started going from one king to another for many years. So we see anyway that at that point it returned back to where it was. Ksav HaLuchas, and where do we see the writing on the Luchas? The Pasuk says, Moshe says about the Luchas, I broke them in your sight. So what does that mean? Tana Luchas Nishberu Va'osias Parchas. It means the Luchas were broken, but the letters flew away. Now, how does that show? How is that shown? From the word la'enechem, Rashi says it means that you're something that catches the eye. In other words, it wasn't just that Moshe threw down the luchos and broke them. It's there was something eye-catching that all of you saw how the letters are flying away. Or Maharsha says a different thing. Machne Yisrael is fairly big. Just to see Moshe breaking the luchos, not everybody would have been able to see that. But to see the letters flying in the air above the machne, that everybody would have been able to see. By the way, Maharsha adds there must have been a nest, besoich nest over there, because the letters themselves, we know, were carved through the luchas. That means the letters themselves are empty space. So that they're able to see letters composed of empty space flying through the air is itself a nest. Although, I think Eitz Yosef says on Ein Yaakov over here that maybe what it was is each letter was still surrounded by a little sliver of stone so that its outline was still visible. Whatever the case, the point is the letters of the Luchas came from Hashem, and they returned from Hashem, so that's the third thing that we're saying that returned to its original place. Okay, getting back to reasons for why Hashem sent the Jewish people in Golos specifically to Babel, Ulama, Kadesh Yochlu Tmorim V'yasku B'Torah. Ula said the reason is this way the Jewish people would be able to eat lots, to be able to eat dates and learn Torah. Lots of date palms grow in Babel, so dates are very plentiful and cheap there in Babel. Now, and then the Gemara tells us elsewhere, the Gemara tells us in Ksubas, that dates have a lot of good qualities. They're very filling, they warm the body, etc., etc. So therefore, this way, they don't have to work that hard for a living, and this way, they're able to learn lots of Torah. So that was another reason why Golos Babel, specifically. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Ula ikla la Pumbedisa, Ula one, this same Ula, one time visited Pumbedisa, krivu le tirina de tamri, they brought him a basket of, dates tea, omalahu kama kihani bezuza. So he asked them, how many baskets of this size can you buy for a zuz around here? Omalahu tlas bezuza. So they told him the price is 3 for 1 zuz. Omar, so he says, I'm surprised, Maloit Sanda de Dovsha Bezuza, you can buy a basket full of honey, of dates that you make honey from, for a zuz, Ubavloi Loi Aski Baraisa, and yet the people above all don't learn Torah, meaning obviously they learn Torah, but he felt they're not learning as much as they should. So how is that? They have such cheap good food available, they should be learning as if they should be learning Torah much more than they are, instead of spending time working and earning a living. Beleil Yetziaruhu, that night though, the dates gave him a stomachache. They loosened his bowels. One of the things the Gemara mentions there in Ksubas about dates is they make a person loose. They give him diarrhea. So Omar. So now he says the other way around. Meloit Sana Sama Demoisa Bezuzu Bebalel. Look at that. A basket full of poison costs only a zuz in Bavel. In other words, the cheapest food that they have over there is not really so good for you. Ubavloyaski Baraisa, and yet I'm surprised that the Bavliim do in fact learn Torah. This, that they're able to learn Torah to the extent that they do, even though the cheap food that they have is not really so good for you, because like I'm having stomach pains from it. We see there that we see how much Mesiras Nefesh they have for Torah then that they're doing that. The Amar of Elazar. Since we mentioned a couple of drushes of Rabbi Elazar, in particular the last one we had was why that Rabbi Elazar said why the Jewish people were sent to Bavo is Mepnesha Amukah Kishoil. So now another drusha of his, the Amar of Elazar, my dichtiv, what does it mean in a pasuk in Yeshaya? The Hochu Amim Nabim in Mashiach's times, many great nations will go. The Omru, and they will say, Lachu v'nala el Har Hashem, come, let us go up to the mountain of Hashem, el Beis Elikei Yaakov v'gomer, to the house of the God of Yaakov v'gomer, etc. So now, why Elikei Yaakov v'loy Elikei Avraham v'Yitzchak? Why are they focusing on? Why are they calling Hashem the God of Yaakov rather than mentioning rather than Avraham and Yitzchak? So the reason is, Ella, what it means is, they're saying like this, Loi ka Avraham shekosav b'har, they're going to understand, we're going to relate to the Bis Mikdash, not like Avraham, who called it a mountain, shenema asher yomer hayom b'har Hashem yiroh, as the Pasuk says, after the Akedah, Avraham says, on this mountain, it will be said in all times that there Hashem is, on this mountain Hashem is seen, v'loi ka Yitzchak shekosav b'sadeh, not like Yitzchak, who called this place of the Bis Mikdash a field, or of whom it says about that it's called a field in connection with him. It says that Yitzchak went to Davin in the field, and that's where he met up with Eliezer and Rivka and the whole caravan over there. So we see that the Gemara is understanding that he was davening at the place of the Bis Mikdash, and therefore it's calling it a field. Ela ki Yaakov shekorei bayis, but rather like Yaakov, who calls the Beis Mikdash a house. Shenema vayikras, shema mokam ahu, Beisel. And he called it the house of Hashem. Now, what's in other words, the Goyim are going to, even the Goyim are going to realize at that point that they have to relate to the Beis Mikdash on that level. Marsha says that actually these three designations refer to the three different Bate Mikdash. The first Beis Mikdash is called Har, because it was exalted, it was everything, but eventually it got destroyed. The second one is called Sode, because it was on a lower level, like a field compared to a mountain, and it was also destroyed, and in fact it was plowed up by the Romans. We know one of the things we commemorate on Tisha B'Av is that Turnus Rufus plowed up the place of the Heichel, like you plow a field, yeah. That's why you have very little remnants of the Bis Mikdash now. Because he plowed it under. And then the third Bis Mikdash is going to last forever, so therefore it's called bayis. Well, they broke down as many of the walls as they could. The Kosel remained, and then they broke down as many of the other walls as they could, and then they plowed the ground, yeah. So, uh, So that's one. The Iyun Yaakov here on Ein Yaakov says also the vort is that each of them represents a further degree in cultivation, like where a person can settle. A mountain you can live on, but it's an old and uncultivated land. A field is more, it's under human control. You're cultivating it, you're plowing and planting it, etc. So Yitzchak related to it on that higher level. And Yaakov related to it on the level of a house we actually live. There's many places in Chassidus where it talks about deeper ideas behind this, that it means, for example, Avraham's midah was chesed, which is represented by a mountain. Like a chesed is all about giving, is all about growing out of your boundaries, so therefore it's represented by a mountain, which is high. A Yitzchak is gvura, so it's represented by a field, which is low down. And Yaakov, which is tiferes, is represented by a house where you actually live, where you can actually accomplish the your goals in life, which is what tiferes is all about. There's a sikha in Chelik Tesvav where the Rebbe talks about this and talks about in general this that we say that Yaakov called it Beis Hashem and what the idea of it is. He also talks about this was originally a sikha of Simchas Torah. So the Rebbe was explaining the pasuk when we say in Atar Reisa, Kimitzi and Teitei, the pasuk continues, the same pasuk continues, Kimitzi and Teitei Torah, Udvan Hashem Yerushalayim. So the Rebbe talked about the idea. You have a level of Torah related to Tzion, and you have a level related to your Shalayim, and then you have the level the level that's going to be reached at that time, which is beyond even that, which is the level associated with Yaakov Avinu and his Midas Emes and Midas Tiferes. So that's in other words, that's the point when even the Goyim are going to realize that we have to go to Beis Elokei Yaakov and learn from that beyond even Mitzi and Teitei Torah and beyond even Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. One last thing of Agadta. We said before the whole story with Hosea and reported various psukim from his nevuah about the Golos and about the eventual about the Geula of the Jewish people. So Amar Rav Yechonon, Gadol Kibbutz, another pasuk we're going to quote in that connection from Hosea. Gadol Kibbutz Golias Ki Yom Shenivru Bo Shemayim Va'aretz. The day when the Jewish people are gathered in from Golos is as great as the day when heaven and earth were created. Shenema, v'nichbetzu v'nei Yehuda v'nei Yisrael yachdav. The pasuk says the children of Yehuda and of Yisrael, meaning Yehuda as well as the other Aseres HaShvatim, are going to gather yachdav all together. V'samu lahem roish echad. They'll set up for themselves one leader, meaning Mashiach. V'alu mina aretz, and they will go up from the land, from all the different lands of Golos where they're scattered. Ki godo yoim Yisrael, because the day of Yisrael is great. Now yesterday we said Yisrael is the name of a place in Eretz Yisrael, and it's also, it refers to Hashem scattering and planting the Jewish people in Golos. But Yom Yisrael, Rashi says over here, the Targum translates it as the day that they're gathered into Eretz Yisrael, meaning the day they're going to be replanted in Eretz Yisrael. As the passage continues, Uzratil Liba Oretz, as we said yesterday. So the day of Yisrael is great. Uchtiv, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Vayhi, Yom Echad. So it's called Yoim, just like the Yoim Echad of Maaseh Bereishis. So we see that it's as great as the day that heaven and earth was created. Maharsha says, come on, there's lots of other things in Tanakh that are described as Yoim, and we don't say they're as great as the day that Shemayim Va'aretz were created. So he says, no, it's more the fact that we're saying over here, V'samu lahem rosh echad, and then it continues, Kigado Yoim Yisrael. So the Yoim and Echad, the word Echad is extra. Once it says rosh, of course it means Echad. The word rosh is singular. So it means, therefore, that it means they're gonna have a head, they're gonna have Mashiach, and it's gonna be a Yom Echad like the Yom Echad when heaven and earth were created. Okay. Getting back to Halacha Gemara. We said in the Mishnah, Yosem Sheshachtu Olav Apetrups in Chula. We said, so it was the first case of our Mishnah was we had a woman, or a married woman, who were, we said sometimes it's assumed that she's going to eat from her father's Korban Pesach, sometimes it's assumed that she's going to be eating from her husband's Korban Pesach. We made the distinction. If it's the first Yom Tov after she got married, if she's eager to go to her father's house, if she's less eager, etc., etc. So now the Mishnah also says that if you have a case where a Yosem who has multiple guardians and each of them shechts a Korban Pesach, so which one does he eat from? So the Mishnah said he can eat from whichever one he wants. So the question is, again, like we asked by the case of the woman, shamat mino yesh brera, does that mean that there's brera, that he's able to choose when they sit down to eat the Korban Pesach, which one he wants from, and we'll say that retroactively that's the one that was for him all along. And we know that there's different opinions about it, and there's an opinion, which is accepted la locha, that we don't say brera in things daraisa, which is what this is. Now, well, that's the question. What do you mean that he can choose that he did? Now, Tosfos says, of course, the Gemara could have answered that, okay, it means he wants before they shechted. But then there's no chiddush in it. We already know that from the case of the woman, where we said that that's exactly what it is. Before the shechita, she has to decide. So by the yosim, there'd be no greater chiddush in mentioning the same thing again. So it has to be teaching us something else. Amar Rav Zera, sela boyis mekol makom. So Rav Zera says, yeah, but you don't even need that, actually. You don't need to resort to brera, because the pasuk says a sheep, a lamb, whatever, for each house. That means the head of the household gets it for, buys it and shechts it for all the members of his family. He doesn't even need their das. So therefore, now this yosim belongs. So if there was only one apotropos and he had shechted the Korban Pesach, automatically the yosim, who is a katan, would be included. Only because we're saying there was more than one apotropos, then we have to pick. But the point is, in other words, that each of them, neither of them needs his das. So we don't really care. So we're saying that he can pick, but in other words, he doesn't have to have picked at the time of shechita, because each of them at the time of Shechita was entitled to Shecht for him. Now, the Gemara is going to point out soon, there's a difference between, for example, a person's wife or his older children or whatever. They get to make the choice. But when it comes to young children, they don't. Tosfos actually points out, Tosfos actually has a Shechita that, what we're saying over here, according to Reb Zera, Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Nedarim where Reb Zera holds that Reb Zera himself holds that you don't, that Daraisa, you don't necessarily need to be registered for a Korban Pesach. It's only the whole concept that you need to is the Rabbanon. So in that case, then the question is, so how are you allowed to feed the cotton the Korban Pesach if he's not registered for it, if they're not required to register him? After all, you don't have to prevent a cotton from eating treif, but you're not allowed to give it to him via daim, and here they're giving him something which is also via daim. So Tosfos mentions an interesting yesod, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch in these halachas, that when you have something that you're giving a kid, which normally might be also to him, but in this case you're giving it to him in order to be mechanech him, then it's allowed. In this case, they're being mechanech him in the mitzvah of eating Korban Pesach. So therefore, they don't have to make sure that he's registered ahead of time, because it's only for chinuch. He's anyway caught, and he's not chayev in mitzvahs, but they're doing it in order to be mechanech him in eating the Korban Pesach. So actually, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that that's a valid thing when it's something that in future years he's going to be doing as well. Every year, there's going to be a Korban Pesach. Eventually, he's going to become Bar Mitzvah, and he's going to be chayiv in it on his own. But for example, you have cases, for example, where it's a one-off thing, one example being when there's a bris on Yom Kippur and somebody needs to drink the wine, then not necessarily do you give it to a kid. We learned about this in Erevin, because then Adrabah, you're afraid that then when he gets older, he may do the same thing. I chinuch, but that's a one-off thing. It's not like he's not going to be doing that, obviously, after he's by mitzvah. Therefore, you don't have to do it now either. Okay. Turn it up on him. We learn in the Braisa, when it says sela boyis, one lamb for each house, that means melamed she'odem mevi v'sheichet alidei b'noyo b'tachtanim. This tells us that a man is able to take the Korban Pesach and shecht it on behalf of his young son or daughter, meaning even without even asking them. He doesn't need their das at all. So whether they like that or not, they don't have the ability to be moicha. Also on behalf of his eved knani or shifcha knanis, bein midaiton, bein shalom midaiton, whether it's with their consent or not, whether they agree to be part of his Korban Pesach or not, he can include them in his Korban Pesach. But he can't shecht on behalf of his older son or daughter, or on behalf of an eved ivri or an omah ivriya, or on behalf of his wife, elami daiton, only that he can only do with their das. Because, as we're going to go on to say, and the point is that all of these in the second category, an older son or daughter, or an eved ivri, or an amah ivriya, or a wife, all of them have the ability to be independent of him. Namely, the wife can say to her husband, as we have in various places in chats, "Any nizonus for any oisa. I don't want you to support me. I'm not required to do work for you." Usually, the wife does work, spinning or whatever, for example, and the profits of it go to the husband. He or she can say, in other words, "I just want to be financially independent. You won't support me, and I don't have to give my earnings to you." The Eved Ivri and the Omer Ivriya. The Eved Ivri, Rashi says that the fact is the Eved Ivri is an adult, so he has the ability to be independent on his own. After all, his master doesn't own his guf. And Omer Ivriya, by definition, is a Ktana, but nevertheless, Rashi says he doesn't have a mitzvah of chinuch on her, because she's not his daughter. So therefore, she's able to be independent. Another point that Mefor should make is also that both an Eved Ivri and an Omer Ivriya, any time they want, they can buy themselves free, whether he likes it or not. Vehefta, it says in Parshas Mishpatim, that any time he helps them to be redeemed by deducting the amount that they worked so far. So therefore, and any time they want, they can come up with that cash and buy their freedom. So therefore, in that sense, they're considered independent of him even now, and therefore he can only do the Korban Pesach on their behalf only if they agree. And as far as his older son and daughter, same idea. In other words, right now, he might be supporting them, but anytime they want, they could decide to go get a job and be financially independent. So therefore, he needs their das. Tanya idach. Now, then we learn another braisa. Lo yishchet adam lo yayde bnei b'tei agdolim. A person cannot shecht for his older son or daughter, v'ayde abdev shvchase ivrim, or for his eved ivri or omah ivriya, v'ayad ishtoi, or for his wife, elami daitan, only with their das. Fine, so far that's the same as the previous braisa. Avol shechet hu ayde bnei b'tei agtanim, v'ayde abdev shvchase agtanim, but he can shecht for his young son and daughter, or for his eved knani or shechet knanis, whether they agree or whether they don't. Again, they don't have the ability to be moche. Fine, so far so good. But the braisa continues. The kulan sheshochtu. In all of these cases, though, if they shecht the shochat rabban alehen, but then also their master shechted on their behalf, so they themselves brought an animal to the Beis Hamikdash and shechted it as a korban pesach, and meanwhile their master also did one, having them in mind. Yotzin b'shal rabban ve'en yotzin b'shal atman. They have to be yotze with their master's korban pesach. They can't be yotze with their own. Chutz mina isha. Except for the wife, she chola limfos, because she's able to be moicha. She's able to protest and say, "I don't want to be part of your korban pesach. I want to make my own." The problem with that is maishno isha. What's different about a woman? What's different about a wife? The same thing should apply to an eved ivri or omah ivriya. The same thing should apply to an older son or daughter. All of them have the ability to be moicha. So why are we singling out his wife? The answer is, you're right. Amar Rava, Isha v'chol d'damila. We don't mean specifically the wife. We mean everybody in that category. We're just giving her as an example, but we mean everybody in that category, which includes Bnei B'tag Dolim and Abdev Shavchasehiv. So now, the Gemara says, now that we have the two braises, Kogofakasha. So within the second braise itself, you seem to have a contradiction. Amrit chutz mina isha sheichola limfos. You're saying that he can shecht for any of these, except whether with or without their das, unless except for his wife, because she could be moicha, implying taima demochi. So it seems, why can he shecht for her only if she is actually moicha? Hole mochi naska b'shal baila. It sounds like if she's not moicha, then by default she's yotze with her husband's korban. But the first part of the braisa said, you can only shecht for your wife only with her agreement. So it sounds like you actually need her to agree, "I want to be yotze with her korban pesach." In other words, what happens by default? There was no, she didn't say one way or the other, but she wasn't moicha either. The two parts of the braisa seem to be contradictory. The answer is, so implying, in other words, that if it was stam, then she's not yotze. So the answer is, my ela midaitan. The answer is, when we said in the braisa that for his wife, for his omah ivriya, etc., he can only shech ela midaitan, lav da amri ein. It doesn't mean they have to say yes. Ela b'stama, it just means, even stam, if they didn't protest, then it means that their consent is assumed. La puki, hecha da omah loy, as opposed to where they explicitly said, "No, I want my own korban," where then they're not yotze. In other words, what it comes out so far is we're saying that you have three different categories. You have people who don't even have the ability to be moicha, for example, his young son or daughter. So even if they're moicha, nothing happens. They're still yotze with his. Then you have the opposite extreme is stam, a person who's not a member of your household. Let's say I'm making a Korban Pesach and I'm inviting you to it. I can only invite you and be moitzi you only if you actually say l'chatchila, I agree. And then you have the wife and the older children, etc., who are somewhere in between. That if they're not moicha, then by default we assume they're part of his korban. But if they're moicha, then they can bring their own. So the Gemara says v'hakulam sheshachdu v'shacht rabban alein yotzin b'shorat. What do you mean? V'hakulam sheshachdu. What about though the braisa continues that we said if you have the case where any of them shechted v'shachat rabban alein and their master shechted for them, we're still saying yotzin b'shorabban. They're yotzin with their masters. Korban Pesach. De'bistama. Now there it's stam. They didn't actually say that we don't want to be yotzin. V'katoni chutz min ishim v'peshi yichod alimchus. And still we're saying except for his wife. Or okay, Rava said it meant his wife and the other ones in that category, because they could be moicha, implying they actually explicitly have to be moicha in order not to be yotze. So what is it? The answer is Amar Rava, Kivin Sheshachdu. Rava says the very fact that they shechted their own Korban Pesach, Ein Lachal Michri Godom Izeh, that itself is the biggest macha, that they're demonstrating with that they don't want to be yotze, that they don't want to be yotze with his Korban. So yeah, if they don't say anything, or they don't shech the Korban Pesach of their own, which also amounts to a macha, then yeah, we're saying that then they're yotze with his. But if they're moicha, or verbally, or by demonstrating, by shechting their own Korban Pesach, then the isha and the other ones in that category are yotze with their own and not with his. Again, as opposed to the little children who are yotze with his, regardless whether they're moicha or not, even if they go and shech their own, they're still yotze with his. And there is his apostle, and as opposed to a person who's not a member of his household, where just implied consent is not good enough, the other person has to say, I want to be part of your Korban Pesach. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Eved shel shnei shutvim chola. We said that an eved that belongs to two different partners. So we said he can't be yotze with either one. So the Gemara says, Romi led Rav Eina Sava led Rav Nachman. Rav Eina Sava pointed out a contradiction to Rav Nachman. Tnan Eved shel shnei shutvim lo yechem lo shna shnei. We're saying in our Mishnah that this Eved who belongs, half of them belongs to one partner and half to the other, then we're saying that we're saying that he can't eat from either one's Korban Pesach unless they both agree that he's yotze with one particular one. V'hatanya rotza mizeichel, rotza mizeichel. We learn in a braisa exactly the opposite. He could eat from either one. The answer is Omale, so Rav Nachman answers him, Eina Sava, which was his name, V'amila Pasya Uchma, or some say instead of Eina Sava, he said to him, Pasya Uchma, literally means a black klicheres. So what it means is, Tamar Chachamim, Chamei Chachamim spend a lot of time learning Torah, so much that their faces become black over it, because they don't take care of their appearance, and they don't always take care to wash their clothes or whatever. So it means, another. So in one place it actually explains, it means it's a compliment. He's saying to him, look what a Talmud Chacham you are, that you look like a Talmud Chacham, that you're neglecting your appearance. And you asked a good question, and then it deserves a good answer. Or in another place it actually explains, it means like, in another place in Tainus, it actually explains, it means that you're not so handsome. But that's also a compliment to a Talmud Chacham, because you have the story in Tainus over there where Rabbi Yeshua was not so handsome either, and the emperor's daughter was surprised. Chachma Mufu'ara, how can you have such tremendous Chachma and such an ugly Keli? And he explains to her that a person who's not so handsome is more shuffled, he's more humble, because he doesn't even pride himself on his looks. So then the idea is, again, that the idea, again, would be that he's complimenting him that you're a distinguished Talmud Chacham, where you have the mila of not being so handsome. Anyway, whatever it is, he says to him, "Minu minoch disaim shmeita." Between me and you, we can explain. In other words, you asked a good question, and I'll give you a good answer, and that way we'll understand what's going on over here. Masnisin b'dekapti adadi. What's going on is in our Mishnah, we're talking about the two owners are makbid one on another, which Rashi says means neither one wants to have hanah from the other one. So the problem is, in other words, that even if, so the problem is, One of them wants the Eved to eat the Korban Pesach by him, but the other one says, but I own half this Eved. I don't want that my Eved should be enjoying, should be benefiting from, that the half that belongs to me should be benefiting from you. Therefore, you can't eat from either one, because each one is machped on the other. On the other hand, the Brai says, talking about a normal situation where they're not machped like that, so therefore he's able to eat by either one. Again, you don't need his das, because we said before he's an Eved Kanani, and you don't need his das for that, so either one can decide on his own, I want him to eat by me, and therefore he's mozi him, and he's able to eat by him. Oh, no, the Jewish Eved, we said, has his own choice, exactly. We said he's in the category of a wife, where by default, fourth, we assume he eats with his master, but if he's moicha, we shecht his own korban, then yeah, he brings his own. Tosfos starts by discussing over here, maybe it means the other way around, the kapti, that it means that neither one wants to give hana to the other one, but then Tosfos says that doesn't really work out. So it's better to explain like Rashi, that it means that neither one wants to receive hana from the other one. You have cases, for example, you have a whole perek in Nedarim that has a case where one person makes a neder not to have hana from the other one, and sometimes the other way around as well, and then you have all kinds of dinim over there, what each of them is and isn't allowed to do for each other, so it could be a case like that. The Rambam has a different understanding of the kapti adadi. He says it means each of them is machbid, that each one is afraid that the other one is going to steal the Eved away from him. So therefore, so that would be the case where the Mishnah is talking about, therefore, so he's not able to be yotze with either Korban Pesach, because they would have to get together jointly and agree that he's going to eat one particular one, because otherwise neither one considers him fully a member of his family, basically. If he has two partners, yeah, one of them could steal him and like take him away someplace and keep him as an exclusive Eved. So the Rambam understands that's the case we're talking about over here. The Mishnah said, we said that a person who is half Eved and half free is not allowed to eat from his master's Korban Pesach or from his own Korban Pesach. Well, he's not allowed to eat from his master's Korban Pesach. Again, we said half slave and half free. One way could be, Taka, he was owned by two partners, and then one of them freed him and the other one didn't. So he can't eat from his master's. So he can't eat from the Korban Pesach of the one who still owns half of him. So the Gemara says, Mishal Rabo Yehuda lo Yoichal. The implication seems to be that he can't eat from his master's Korban Pesach. Aval Mishal Atma Yoichal. But it seems to imply that he could eat from his own Korban Pesach. He himself could shech the Korban Pesach for himself and eat it. Valtanya lo Yoichal lo Mishal lo Mishal Rabo. But we learn in a Braise he can't eat his own Korban Pesach or his master's Korban Pesach. So what is it? The answer is like Kasha, can commissioner is Shona, can commissioner Achrona. The answer is, it depends. There was the original Mishnah where Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai disagreed about what happens with an Eved, with this kind of person who is half Eved and half free. And then there's Mishnah Achrona when Beis Hillel changed their mind and agreed with Beis Shammai. So then, in other words, so the Mishnah Rishona was, as we're going to say, that he remains at half Eved, half Ben Choden indefinitely. Mishnah Achrona was that Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai that we have to arrange for him to become free as soon as possible. So therefore, so the original thing was what the Braisa says. So therefore, the fact that he's half Eved, so he's not able to eat his own Korban Pesach either, because okay, he's half free, but the other half of him is an Eved. He's not able to schlep that along to be, that he can be Yotze with his own Korban Pesach. Then the Mishnah Achrona, once Beis Hillel agreed that we have to free him as soon as possible, so now we can consider him already now like a Ben Chorin, like a free person, therefore he can eat his own Korban Pesach. So that's when the Mishnah is saying, that's the Mishnah, is according to Mishnah Achrona, or Mishnah, that is saying, is according to Mishnah Achrona, when Beis Hillel agreed with Beis Shammai, that therefore he can't eat from his master's Korban Pesach, but the implication is he could shech his own and eat it. Because even though right now he's still Chetzi Eved, the Chetzi Ben Chorin, and still we're gonna free him very soon. So what's going on? Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Adius, Misha Chetzi Eved Bechetzi Ben Chorin, a person who is half free and a person who is half Eved and half free. Over the Sraba Yem Echad Vesgatzmi Yem Echad Divi Beisilu. So Beisilu says he works alternate days. He works on the odd number of days for himself and keeps his own earnings, and on the even number of days he works for his master and gives whatever he earns to his master. So he keeps on doing that, and he keeps on doing like that indefinitely. But Shammah, remember, Shammah says that doesn't work. Tikantem is Rabbi. Okay, that fixes up his master. So now his master is not losing out anything because he gets every other day's work, which he's entitled to. Es Asmai let Tikantem. But you haven't fixed things up as far as the Eved himself, this guy himself, how is he going to be able to get married? Lisa Shifcha in a Yachol. He can't marry a Shifcha Knanis, Shkrachetzia Ben Chorin, because half of him is a Ben Chorin, and a Ben Chorin is not allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis. He's already halfway a full yid, right? Right. Ben Lisa Bas Chorin in a Yachol. He can't marry a free Jewish woman either, Shadayin Chetzia Eved, because half of him is still an Eved, and there's also an Isser for an Eved to marry. There's also an issue for an Eved to marry a regular Jewish woman. So he's stuck. He can't marry anybody. You can't say, by the way, that he should marry a woman who herself is half Shifcha and half Bas Chorin, because the problem is, you have to think of it. It's not like you say, for example, let's say that, the problem is, half of him is an Eved, half of him is a Ben Chorin. If he marries a woman who's half Shifcha, half Ben Chorin, it's not the Eved part is married to the Shifcha part and the Ben Chorin part is married to the Bas Chorin part. The whole thing of him is married to the whole of her, meaning that the part of him that's an Eved is also married to the Bas Chorin part of her, and vice versa. So that doesn't work. So, Gibotel, should he be Botel and he can't get married at all? The whole world was only created for Piri V'Rivia. The Pasuk says, the world, Hashem did not create the world for nothingness. He formed it in order to be settled. So it's important that people should be able to have children. Now, Tosfos in a few other places talks about, why don't they want to bring the mitzvah of Pruvu? And there's a few different answers. One of them being that after all, maybe this guy's not chayev in pruvu because it's an oynes. Because after all, okay, he can't marry. What can he do? But mitzvah loyla Torah bro l'shevis yitzara. Fine, he himself might be potter. But the point is, we at least should be taking every possible step to make it that he should be able to get married. Tosfos on Amud Aleph, by the way, talks about some possibilities. Why doesn't he sell the half of himself that's a Ben Chorin as an Eved Ivri, and an Eved Ivri is also allowed to marry a Shifcha Knanis? Tosfos goes through a bit of discussion why that wouldn't work. Anyway, the point is, so Beis Shammai says, so very nice, you Beis Hillel are taking care of what's going to be as far as his work, but what are you doing as far as him being able to get married? Ela, so Beis Shammai continues, b'pnei tikkun olam, in order to keep society running the way it should, koyfenes rabbi v'oso is a ben chorin, we force his master to make him a ben chorin, v'kosev shtar achatzi domov, and he writes out a shtar that he owes half of his value to the master. That way he's not losing out financially, but this way, right away, as soon as possible, he becomes a ben chorin. And that way, now he can marry a bas chorin, can marry a regular Jewish woman. So eventually, what it is, so you have, he's worth $1,000. Now, like, this one guy still owns half of him, and so it's $500. So fine, right away we write a shtar that he should go free, and Eved Ivri can go free with a shtar. It's one of the ways that you can free an Eved Ivri. But we don't want the master to lose the $500. So we write a shtar that he owes him $500, and eventually he'll work it off. I'll pay him back in. Ah, so according to Beis Hillel, maybe that's how it would have been. But now we're saying, yeah, right. V'chazru Beis Hillel lohodesh Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel ended up changing their mind and agreeing with Beis Shammai that that's what we should do. So again, Rashi is saying, therefore, so the Braisa that said that he can't eat any Korban Pesach is talking according to Beis Hillel's original opinion, that because he's half Eved and half free, therefore there's nothing that he can do. And then the Or Mishnah, which says that he can eat from his master, where that he can't eat from his master's, implying but he could eat his own, is talking after that. So even though right now he's still Chetzi Eved, but very soon he's going to be Ben Chorin, so therefore that's good enough reason now that even now we can eat from the Korban Pesach. The Rambam actually seems to understand it the other way around, because the Rambam writes the Chetzi Eved, the Chetzi Ben Chorin is not Yotze with either one. And the Ravid asks on him, it seems like he's going like Mishnah Rishona over here. So some of the Noise Kalim on the Rambam and some of the Mephoshim, some of the Achronim explain that the Rambam would understand that it's the other, there is Mishnah Rishona and Mishnah Achrona, but it's kind of the other way around. Mishnah Rishona would have been that Mishnah Rishonah would have been because he's half Eved and half Ben Chor, and therefore he can eat his own Korban Pesach, because like you said, there is a period of time when he himself is free. Mishnah Achronah is saying because he's going to be a Ben Chorin, but the fact is he's not yet, because we haven't actually written out that Shtar, therefore he's stuck, therefore we don't consider him an Eved anymore, we don't consider him a Ben Chorin anymore, and therefore he's stuck and he can't eat either one. Okay. Well, we would hope that not. Yeah. Okay. By the way, Tosfos points out over here, when it comes to a shivcha, then it's different. The concept of loy l'soya bra l'sheves yitzara, there is, after all, the matter of pruvu. Only men are chayev in it, women are not. So therefore, with a shivcha knanis, you don't have to do that. She could stay chetzi shivcha v'chetzi v'aschoin indefinitely, unless Tosfos says, based on another Gemara, that sometimes you have nog or minog hefker, that people start being mezana with her, then already we free her, and then already we arrange the same thing in order that she should be freed, and in order that people don't do that. Okay. What? Perakai? Oh, it's in Perakai Chabamam currently? Oh, okay. Mishnah says, Ha'oimel Avdet Seu Shchoit Elias HaPesach. If a person tells his Eved, go Shech the Korban Pesach for me. Now, we didn't specify what kind of animal. So, Shochat Gdi Yoichol, Shochat Tla Yoichol. So, if the Eved ends up shechting a goat, then the master can eat from it. Even as the Gemara is going to say, even if usually he brings a sheep every other year, but because he didn't specify, then we assume whatever his Eved shechts is the valid Korban Pesach that he's agreeing to be part of. Shochat Tla Yoichol, and also if he shechts a sheep, same thing, the master can eat from it, because again, it means that since he didn't specify, means he's fine with either one. What if the Eved shechts a goat and a sheep? Then the master should eat davka from the first one that was shechted. The second one will have to be burnt, because it's a posel of carbon. Actually, some of the Achronim point out that maybe, based that since the Gemara is going to end up saying that the Eved doesn't have the ability to be makdish one on his own without his master's consent, because after all, mashakana Eved kana rabbi, so really the second one he wasn't really validly makdish at all. Maybe you don't have to burn it. Maybe it's just like it was cholin shenish kubazara. Fine, it's also to eat, but not necessarily doesn't have to be burned. No, it can't become a shlomim for reasons that we'll discuss later. No, if you have a lot of guests, you can make two groups, like we learned at the end of the previous paragraph, but no, each person can only be registered for one Korban Pesach at a time. So yeah, if he wants two Korbanos, there'll have to be, there's an owner of one, there's an owner of the other, and fine, you know, each one can have multiple people registered with him, yeah. What happens if the master told him the particular kind of animal to shech, but then he forgot? Kate said, "Yase." How should he do? He should do it like this: Yishchat tle ugdi. He should shech both a sheep and a goat. The yoman, he should say, "Im gdi omali rabbi." If my master had said that I should shech the goat, then gdi shaloyu tle shali. Then the goat will be his korban pesach, and the tle will be mine. Now, how does he have his own Korban Pesach? Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi, we'll see in the Gemara. The Im Tle Omali Rabbi, and if my master had told me that he wants a sheep, then Tatle Shalai Ugdishali, then the sheep will be his Korban Pesach, and the goat will be my Korban Pesach. And that way everybody's Yotze. What happens, Shochach Rabbi Ma'omalai? What happens, he comes back, and it turns out his master also forgot what he told him. Then, Shnei Nietzel Beis HaStrefa, both of those Korbanas have to be burnt, because you don't know which one was for which one, and after all, the Korban Pesach can only be eaten by the people who are registered for it before the Shechita. Upturin Melasas Pesach Sheni, but both of them, the master and the Eved, are potter from making Pesach Sheni, because there was a proper Shechita, and there was a proper Zrika for the respective people. They forgot, but Hashem knows which one was for which one. So therefore they're potter from making a Pesach Sheni, because the rule is, when the Shechita and the Zrika was done b'kashrus, then the fact that there was a psul afterwards doesn't change things. Okay. So the Gemara says, Pshita, the first part of the Mishnah, where it says that if he shechted a goat or he shechted a sheep, then the owner is yotze with that. Pshita, isn't that obvious? The answer is, what the Mishnah means is, Shochat di yoichol afagab de roger butle, means if the Eved shechted a goat, even if every other year the master usually has a sheep, or Shochat tle yoichol afagab de roger would be, or the other way around, if he shechted a sheep, then he eats from it, even though usually every other year he brings a goat, because since he didn't specify which one, then it means whichever one the guy shechted, he's going to be okay with it. Okay. Now, we said, Shachat B'dir Tle Yochum and Arishan. We continued in the Mishnah. We said that if he shechted both a goat and a sheep, then we said he should eat from the first one that was shechted. So why? We learn in a Braisa that you can't be registered for two Korbanos Pesach at once because Ein Breira. Because when he comes to eat one, he might not have, that might not be the one that he had in mind at the time of Shchita. So how can he register his master for two Korbanos Pesach and was saying only the first one is going to be good? That's according to Rashi. Tosfos says what it means is, of course, we could answer the Mishnah holds that Yesh Breira, but then Yesh Breira would mean he could eat from either one. Then he could pick at the time, and whichever one he picks will be the one that retroactively he had in mind at the time of Shchita. The fact that the Mishnah is not saying that means the Mishnah holds Ein Breira. Also, Tosfos points out that the Braisa could be talking about where he registered for two Korbanos Pesach at the same time, whereas the Mishnah is talking about one after the other. He was registered for one and then for the other. But the thing is, the Mishnah says the first one that was shechted, and it means even you could have, for example, he was registered for that one second, but it was shechted first. Nevertheless, we're saying he's eating from that one, so it shows it doesn't matter what order the registration took place. The key thing is which one was shechted first. Okay. So you can't be registered for two Korbanos Pesach at the same time. So how does our Mishnah say that if the Eved shechted two animals, then he just eats from the first one? The answer is Masnisim b'melech u'malka. The answer is our Mishnah is talking about specifically a king and queen. Now the king and queen, it actually says, are not so makbid about what they eat, whether they're eating sheep or goats, because they're eating meat all the time anyway. So they just leave it up to their avodim, they leave it up to their chefs to decide what to prepare for them that day. So therefore, there's no matter of Breira. So therefore, he's just yotzer with the first one. The other one was shechted for nothing. And Tosfos adds, I mean, they have a lot of delicacies all the time. So they don't care whether it's a sheep or a goat, whether it's a fat one or a skinny one or whatever, as long as, you know, whatever their avodim are doing is fine with them. The Rambam has a different explanation of it, almost the other way around. The Rambam says a king and a queen get angry very easily if you don't do exactly what they want. So therefore, the Chachamim will say that in that case, then we're going to allow it to be assumed that the first one is the one they wanted to in order to not provoke them into anger. But everybody else, we're going to say that the rules would be different. V'ha Tanya, and in fact, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Nimnen Ashnei Pesachim Kechad, you can't be registered for two Korbanos Pesach at the same time. It has to be one or the other. But, U'maisi B'melech U'malka Sh'amul Avdeim Tzu V'shachtu Aleinos HaPesach, it happened once with a Jewish king and queen who told their servants, go shecht the Korban Pesach for us. V'yotze V'shachtu Aleinos Shnei Pesachim. They went and ended up shechting two animals, a sheep and a goat. Or two sheep, or two goats, or whatever. Bo v'shalo v'samelach. So they came to ask the king, which one do you want to be yotze with? Or is it good v'chlal? Amalahem. So he says to them, l'chu v'shalo v'samelach. Go ask the queen. Because Rashi says the queen, at that time, was more bucky and more and smarter than the king. So therefore, he deferred to her judgment. Bo v'shalo v'samelach. They went and asked the queen. Amalahem. L'chu v'shalo v'samelach. So she said, go ask Rav Gamliel. I don't know the halacha. Go ask Rav Gamliel. Bo v'shalos Rav Gamliel, amalahem. So he tells them what we just said. Melech malko, melech the daitan kala alehem. The queen and the king, we're daitan kala. We're according to Rashi and Tosfos, they're not makbid, and according to the Rambam, the other way around, their das is kal, and therefore they're very easily provoked into anger. Then those kinds of people, yoichlum in arishin. Therefore, they should eat from the first one that was shechted. Anan, but if the same thing happened with any of us, anybody who's not a king or queen, loy neicha, loy min arishin, loy min asheni, we wouldn't be allowed to eat from either one. Because there we can't say that daitan kala, that we're willing to accept whatever was shechted. There we would have to say it's a matter of breira, and ein breira. You can't say that unless he decided before the shechita that he wants to be on this one and not on this one, then you have a problem. And the Gemara mentions, by the way, since we're talking about a case where the king and the queen had to ask for a meal for a psak halacha, so here's another case. V'shuv pa'amachas nimtis ha'latov v'veis ha'mitbachayim. It happened once, they were preparing a meal for the king and queen. They found a lizard in the kitchen, and a lizard is one of the shmonei shrasim. They thought the whole suda is going to be tamei. Now that doesn't mean it's also to eat. Unless the king and queen are koyanim, they're allowed to, even if they're koyanim, they're allowed to eat chulin that are tamei. They're just not allowed to eat truma that's tamei. But still, they used to eat chulin betara. So therefore, so now they're concerned. Everything became tamei. Bo v'shalos hamelach, so the king asks the king what to do. Amalahem l'chu v'shalos hamalka, and again he defers to the queen, go ask her. Bo v'shalos hamalka, they went and asked her. Amalahem l'chu v'shalos Ram Gamliel, go ask Ram Gamliel. Bo v'shalos, so they went and asked Ram Gamliel. Amalahem, so he asked them. Beisamet b'chaim reiseach oitzonim. This place where you found it in the kitchen, was it hot or cold? Did you find it in hot water or in cold water? Amr lo reiseach. They told him we found it in hot. So he tells them, go pour a cup of cold water over this lizard. They went and poured a cup of cold water on it, and that revived it. It moved. In other words, it wasn't dead. It was stunned by the heat, but it wasn't actually, they thought that it was dead. A sheretz is only the time when it's dead. Rav Gamliel showed them it's not actually dead. It's actually still alive. It was just stunned by the heat, and that's why it wasn't moving. That's why you thought it was dead. But now it's alive, so it's not matame anything. You can take it and throw it out. Well, if it was on the floor, it could mean that somebody stepped on it and became tame and then touched the food. Because after all, sheretz is matame b'maga. It could be that it could be that it was inside one of the kalim and then he dropped it on the floor and it's matame b'masa, etc., etc. Yeah. But like this, it moved. So that's it. Betir Rav Gamliel kolos sudakola. So Rav Gamliel said that's it. The whole suda is tahor because we don't have to worry about this lizard because the lizard was alive all this time. Nimsa melech tolei b'malka. So it comes out in this case, the king depends on the queen. Nimsa's malka tloya b'Ram Gamliel. The queen in turn depends on Ram Gamliel. Without him, she wouldn't have known what to do. Nimsa's kolasuda tloya b'Ram Gamliel. So the whole party was saved. The whole party depends on Ram Gamliel knowing on the spot what to do. Okay. We said in the Mishnah Shachach Masha Amalei Rabbi Gafula. We said. And again, the master told the Eved to shech the Korban Pesach. We said suppose he had told him a specific animal, and we said that the Eved forgets which one he told him. So we said he shechts two animals, and he says, whichever one my master said should be, then that one will be for him, and the other one will be for me. The problem with that is, Shali, what do you mean? It'll be my Korban Pesach. Masha kona Eved kona Rabbi. We know in general that whatever an Eved acquires, his master automatically acquires. So he can't own a Korban Pesach of his own. Amar Abaya, what it means is, Hoylach etzel roya harago Rabbi etzlei. What he does is he goes to a shepherd who his master regularly does business with. So the guy knows his master, and he wants to make sure that he's going to be able to be yotze the Korban Pesach. The nichalei v'takanta de rabbi, this guy wants to be able to make it that the master is going to be able to have a takana, to be able to have a Korban Pesach. Umachne lechad minayu, so he's machne him, one of the animals, to the Eved, almanas she'en l'rabbi reshusboi, with this specific condition that his master has no ownership over that animal. That's valid. You're able to do that. Normally, mashkona eved kona rabbi, but it is possible to give something to the eved al manas that the master shouldn't own it, and that works. So therefore, in this case, now that the one animal belongs to the eved and the other one belongs to the master, and Tosfos brings from a Gemara in Kedushin that says that there's an opinion that says that it doesn't work if he just says Amanas Shein L'Rabbit or Shusboi. It would have to be that he's telling him explicitly Amanas for a particular purpose. So okay, he was telling Amanas that you're going to be Yotze, you're Korban Pesach with it. So therefore it works. Now why can't we bring a Shlomim? We're going to talk about it at the bottom of the Amud, but Rashi mentions it briefly over here. The problem is, you're not allowed to shorten the time of eating korbanos. And the problem is, a shlomim can be eaten for 2 days, a korban pesach can be eaten only that night. So if you have an animal which is brought, you have two animals over here, one is the pesach, one is the shlomim, and you're not sure which is which, the problem is that both of them now you have to finish eating that night, and you're not allowed to do that. Okay. So the nichalev takanta the rabbi, yeah, umachne lechaya. Okay, we said shachach rabbi masha amalei chula. We said if his master forgot what he himself told him, whether it was supposed to be a sheep or a goat, so then we said both of them get burnt and they're potter from making a pesach sheni. So amar abaye lo shonu elash shachach achaz rika. That applies only if the master forgot. So this that we're saying, that they're both potter from pesach sheni, is only if the master forgot after the zrika of both korbanos. Because when the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, at that point it was still valid to eat. Because at that moment, if the Eved had called up the master and said, there's two animals over here, which one was the one you told me? And he had told him. At that point, it would have still been good. So he forgot after the Zrika, but the Zrika itself was still done for kashrus, therefore he's potter from making a Pesach Sheni. Aval shachach lifnei zrika. But if he forgot before zrika, v'chi izrik dam lo yhavi chozil achila. Then, when the zrika was done, the korban wasn't even able to be eaten because at that point the master had already forgotten and the eved had forgotten which one he was told. And it's so the zrika already was done at a point when nobody knows. So then Chayavim lost his Pesach Sheni, then they're both Chayav to make a Pesach Sheni, because then we can't say that he was Yotze, then we can't say that he was Yotze the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, because now the blood of the Korban was sprinkled not for the sake of eating, because we don't know who the Menuyim are, and we learned previously that if the Korban Pesach, if the blood is sprinkled, Shaloi La'Ochla, or Shaloi the Menuyim, then it's no good. So to give it to another group, if the people of that group were registered, if somebody else was registered for it before it's shechted, then fine. You're able to change your registration until it's shechted. But here we're talking about after the shechita and ayah. We're going to have later on in the parak, by the way, we're going to have examples where people get their korbanos Pesach mixed up before the shechita and what they do in order to take care of that problem. But here we're talking about after the shechita. Okay. Now, on the other hand, there are those who learn that Abaya's statement about the distinction between before and after Zrika and whether they're potter or chayev from Pesach Sheni is referring actually to a case in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Chamisha shenis aruhu oris pischein zebezeh. Suppose you have five groups, doesn't mean five, doctor, just means however many groups, that the skins of their korban Pesach got mixed up one with another. Benimtsis yabelos ve'echa man. We find a wart on one of the skins. Now a wart is a mum. So it means, in other words, one of their korbanos Pesach was basal, but we don't know which one. Kulan yotz in the beis hashrefa. All of those korbanos have to be burned because one of them is basal, and you're not allowed to eat basal korbanos. Upturin milas Pesach sheni, and though all of these groups are potter from making Pesach sheni, Amar Abaya. So on that, the Ikka D'Amri is saying that Abaya is referring to that and saying, that would apply only if the skins were mixed up after the zrika of all the korbanos. Because again, when the blood was sprinkled, it was done on behalf of the Oichlim and on behalf of the Menuyim, because at that point we knew which korban Pesach was which. So now we discover later that one of them was a Baal Mum, all of them are potter from Pesach Sheni. Aval, because it could have been eaten. Aval aval lifnei zrika, but if the skins were mixed up before the zrika, chayavim lost Pesach Sheni, then they would be chayav to make a Pesach Sheni, because now at the time of the zrika, it couldn't have even been eaten, because already then we knew that one of these korbanos is possible, and we didn't know which one. So, what's the difference whether we say that a biased statement is referring to the Mishnah or to the Braisa? Man demasnia masnissin. The first version, who says that Abaya's din applied to the Mishnah, the case where he mixed up whether it was a gdi or a tle, that his master told him, and his master himself forgot. So, kol shekein abraisa, he would say all the more so in the Braisa. Because in the Mishnah, after all, both of them are kosher, and both of them are kosher, we just don't know who's registered for which one. In the Braisa, all the more so, one of them has an actual psul. So all the more so, we would say that there's a difference between before and after Zrika. Mandamasya Braisa, but the version that says that Abaya was referring to the Braisa, he would say Avala Masnissin Loi, but he would say Abaya does not hold of that distinction when it comes to the Mishnah. Given to Ksheda Ninu, because after all, in our Mishnah, the two Korbanos are kosher. One of them is for the Eved and one of them is for the Master. We just don't know which one is which. So there's no real, there's not as much of a psul in the Korban. The Ki Idker, the Kivin to Ksheda Ninu, the Korbanos themselves are kosher. The E Idker have a Chazil Achila. And after all, if the Master ended up remembering which one he told the Eved in the first place, so then he'd be able to eat from it. So Kamish, Maya Galia, so even now it's known to Hashem which one is the bialim of which one. And therefore, we would say if Abaya's rule was meant to refer to the Braisa, the case of the five skins, then it wouldn't necessarily refer to the Mishnah. We wouldn't say that even before Zrika, we could say the Zrika could still be done. Right now, the owner doesn't remember which one is supposed to be his and which one is supposed to be the Eved, but conceivably he could remember. And even now, Hashem knows the truth, which one is which. So therefore, we could say even before the Zrika, we could say if he forgot even before the Zrika, he's still potter from Pesach Sheni, according to the second version. Yeah. Okay. We'll continue with this tomorrow and explain, in that case of the five groups where their skins got mixed up, why are we saying that all of them are potter from making a Pesach Sheni? I mean, four out of the five groups, okay, are potter from making a Pesach Sheni because they brought a valid Pesach. But the fifth one brought an animal, it's a Baal Mum. So how are they potter from Pesach Sheni? So that we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow. That's what we're asking on the face of it. Only the one that brought a Baal Mum should be potter, because it should be chayev in Pesach Sheni. The other one should be potter. But why are we saying all of them are potter, even though one of them necessarily brought a Baal Mum? That we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, Baruch Hashem. No, they can't. No, because an animal can't develop a mum after it's dead. No, it has to be. It had this mum while it was alive.
Could it be a b'di'evet?
No, it's not a matter of the chilah b'di'evet. It's a matter of are they chayiv in Pesach Sheni or not. So we're going to discuss it. We're going to discuss it in detail in the Gemara tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.
Shkoyach.
Okay, everyone.